Let me pray for us, and let's hear from God's word together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love your church. You send your Son Jesus into the world so that you might gather together people from all over the world, from all nations and backgrounds, to be a new community that honors you, that reflects you, that grows towards full maturity in Christ. Father, we pray that you would renew us with a vision, with your vision for your church this morning, and how we have to grow in it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Soft drink companies like Pepsi and Coca-Cola are quite aware that we are in an increasingly health-conscious society, we're conscious of how much sugar we drink, conscious of what we put into our system. We're conscious of how many calories we're taking on. We have an increasing number of 24-hour gyms that people are signing up for. And we're looking for healthier food and drink options that clearly has an impact on their bottom line. And so recently they've launched the Pepsi Next drink. I haven't really noticed it, but I've just read about it. Coke, but you probably may have noticed more visibly the Coke Life drink that they've launched, which uses stevia as a sweetener and has 35% less sugar than the original, which is meant to make it more healthy, so drink more of it. But the point is that our soft drink companies are aware that we care for our bodies. We care for the health and growth of our bodies. Whether it's unhealthy growth or healthy growth, we care about what's happening. And over this series, as we've been looking at the series which we've called Growing Your Faith, what I've been saying is that just as we care about our physical health and our physical growth, so we have to care about our spiritual health and our spiritual growth. In 2 Timothy, Paul says that physical training has some value, but the training in godliness has value both for this life and for the life to come. And therefore we have to care even more for our training in godliness, for our spiritual health. And as Christians, as God's people, we are to be concerned, we are to prioritize, we are to make every effort to make sure we are constantly growing. And if there's just one idea you're to take away from this series, it's that God wants you and I to grow. And God wants you and I to use His appointed means to keep on growing ourselves. To keep on growing ourselves with the means that God has provided. And God has given us a spiritual growth plan. Some of these are obvious and, you know, they're not new. Others we may not have thought about so much. The last 2 weeks we've covered the fact that God intends for us to grow in His Word by delighting and meditating on it, by letting it transform every day of our lives, by letting His Word saturate our thoughts, renewing our thought patterns and attitudes, and delighting in it, finding pleasure in His Word, going back to it again and again, mulling over a verse or a passage or a chapter or a promise or a command or a warning. God's Word is meant to be our delight, and we're to meditate in it and grow in it. Secondly, last week we looked at enjoying God in prayer. That God has given us this great high priest who's gone through the heavens and into the very throne room of God, and God has brought us in with Him. Jesus brings us in with Him into the very center of God's presence. And He is our sympathetic and faithful high priest. He is a God who is open and warm and welcoming and sympathetic towards us as we come in our brokenness, in our weakness. And he makes this promise that as we come to him, approach the throne of grace with confidence so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. So God doesn't just promise a sympathetic hearing, but he promises powerful help. And so we're to go to him frequently and exercise our faith in him, our dependence on him through prayer. This week we're looking at growing within the body of Christ, or growing as one body. And there's a lot of passages that I could have chosen. I chose Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1-16, and it's quite a complex passage in a number of ways, but I want to break it down into a couple of sections. Verses 1-6, and we'll look at our unity in our oneness in Christ that we're to grow in. Verses 7-14, God's plan for our growth as one community. And thirdly, how this community of God's people grows as each part does its work, as every member serves together. So growing as one body of God's people. Now, there are different reasons why people come to church, or different ways that you can picture what church is like, isn't there? Okay, so some people come to church because it's a great preaching center. The Bible was faithfully taught, and I know some of you have come for this reason, and thank God that we do seek to present the Bible, you know, God's Word, faithfully, and you want to grow in that. So one picture of a church is as a preaching center. Secondly, another big picture of church, on the more cynical level, if you like, is as an entertainment center, a place that you come to see a great performance, to have a great experience, to enjoy what the team up front are doing. Another picture of church is a private prayer room. It's a place where you come and you do your private business with God. You sing, you listen, you pray, and then you leave. It's a private place of worship. And here's another picture I want to suggest to you, not necessarily a biblical picture, but has biblical concepts in it, is that church is a training paddock. It's a team training session where all of us come together. We do get some coaching, some lessons, some principles, but we come together to work. We don't just come to sit on seats. We come, even though you're sitting in seats at this point in time, it won't be the whole time you'll be doing restraint in that activity. But this is the coaching time, the principles time. But then there is the time when we all then work together, encouraging each other, spurring each other on, practicing various skills, growing together as a team. And some of you will know what kind of team I'm thinking about during this Rugby World Cup. I think they're training quite well at the moment. But this is how God views us as a church. God views us as an interdependent body of people, a community of people, not as passive observers, but of active participants in his church, where we are all called to grow through effort that each of us exercise together. But it is one interdependent community, but I want to come back to this idea of being one body, first and foremost. Let me read from verse 3. Paul says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in overall and through all and in all. So there is this huge sense of oneness that we have, as Christians, have been saved into. And the context of this chapter is back in chapter 2, where Paul says, once we were not a community of people, once we were separated from God, once we were a divided community, once we were part of a broken humanity, broken because of our sin and rebellion against God, which divides us, which divides communities. We were self-serving and God-denying as individuals in the world. But what God has done in Christ and through the gospel is he's brought those who are far away near, and he has united them into one new humanity. I'll just read from chapter 2, verse 14. You want to flick over one page. Chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to the cross, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Now, there's two groups that Paul's talking about. It is the old division between the Jews, people of God, and the nations, or the Gentiles. And Paul is saying, now there's, in Christ, there's no longer this division. But there is one new humanity that God has brought together. And we have one common hope, Paul says in chapter 4. One shared, glorious future in Christ. We have one common Lord Jesus. We have one God and Father of all who rules over all. And because we have been saved into this one body, this one Spirit, this one hope, one Lord, we are to make every effort to live out this unity. Live out this unity that God has already created, this multiracial international community. We are to live that out, and we are to live it out in real relationships with each other. And what we're to understand is that we're, as Christians, we're part of a universal, God's universal church that finds its expressions in local congregations that meet together. And within those local congregations, we're to make every effort to live out the new oneness, the new unity that we have in Christ. It's just like the Wallabies. So they all used to play as members of opposing teams, as state teams, the Queensland Reds, the ACT Brumbies, New South Wales Waratahs. They all played for different teams, but since having been selected to be the national team, to wear the green and gold as one team, they're now to live out that new identity, no longer as opposing members, but as one team committed together for the same goal and purpose, encouraging each other as that new identity. Live out the unity that God has already created you, brought you into. And we're to make every effort to do it. And we're going to make every effort because it's not always natural, is it? But we come to church, every one of us, with our own personal baggage. Everyone's got issues, don't they? Everyone's got issues. It's just whether one person once said to me, one wise person said to me a while ago, you know, thinking about, you know, who your potential dating partner is. Everyone's got issues. It just depends on whose issues you're prepared to live with and to work with. But the same is true in church. We've all got issues, but by God's choice, God has brought us together to work through our issues together. Now, we've all got our quirkiness, we've all got our sins we're battling with. We're all at different levels of spiritual maturity, different levels of our understanding of the gospel. Different ways we annoy and frustrate each other. And the answer to our issues is not to avoid each other, is it? It's not to avoid conflict. And listen again to Paul. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, the unity that the Spirit has created through the bond of peace in the context of the peace that God, through His gospel, gives us. And this idea of making every effort is not an idea of being passively non-aggressive. It's actually about being actively pursuing peaceful, loving relationships. This is why we're called to be completely humble. Now, if you're a standoffish person, if you avoid conflict, that's not being completely humble, is it? It's being proud. But we're told to be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love for the other person. Bearing with one another in love for the other person. And so we can make every effort. And our concern, see, if we have been saved to be members of one team or one family or one household, then our concern should be the oneness, the unity of that one household. A oneness that's in the gospel, that's characterized by a humble, gentle, and patient love for each other. That should be our priority as we come to church. How can I pursue the oneness that we have, the unity we have in the gospel through a humble, self-giving love for other people? Our priority in coming isn't just for ourselves, but it's for the sake of the body that God has called us to be a part of, has saved us into, an interdependent community. And as we seek out this unity and a oneness, there's a direction to this oneness. We're not just friends playing around on the paddock for no particular reason. We're not just hanging out there, drinking on our Coke Life or our Pepsi Next. No, we're actually to actually do something with this unity. And we're to pursue a unity that is directed by God's plan for our maturity. We're to pursue a unity that's directed by God's plan for our maturity. And this is what Paul says to us in verses 7 to 14. 7 to 14. Looking over it very quickly, the first section, verses 7 to 10, Paul says that within this unity, God has given everyone a gift. God has given everyone a unique gift. Jesus gives it to each person within His church. Psalm 68 is quoted here. And the context of Psalm 68 is where God ascends, that the ark is brought to Zion, to the mountain which Jerusalem, to the capital of Israel. And it's an enthronement psalm where God is pictured as being enthroned and ascends Mount Zion. And this picture is applied to Jesus' resurrection and His ascension into heaven. And as Jesus ascends into heaven, Jesus, as the victorious King, hands out gifts to His people. And we're told that He gives gifts to each person. Every person is given a gift. And Paul will talk about the use of the gift later on in verse 16, where he says, each part doing its work will be an exercise of that gift. But in verse 11, Paul highlights the teaching gifts or the word gifts. And let me explain these gifts briefly before we go to the purpose of the gifts, which is really the main point. So the apostles and the prophets are gifts that God gave to the church. And their role was to provide an authoritative revelation of God's word to his people. So the prophets, you'd say, represent the Old Testament. They gave the authoritative word of God in the Old Testament. And the apostles, when they came, when Jesus commissioned them, delivered to us the authoritative word of God in the New Testament. They were the foundational gifts. And then the evangelists, pastors, and teachers are then given with a role to spread the word, to teach the word, and to grow the church through the spreading and the teaching of God's word. But their role isn't just to teach. We're told their role here in verse 11. So God, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, for what purpose? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, in the first place, that these particular gifts of teaching and of leadership are given to enable everyone to use them. It's an equipping. God's word, as it's taught, enables all of us to do our part within the body of Christ. God's word gives us the vision, the direction, the values of our church. The vision, the direction, the values for our ministry and our individual ministry. How does it all work together? For what purpose do we serve? How are we called to use our gifts? And God's word is the means by which we are to know and to be equipped. But the point is that we, each of us, are to be equipped. We, each of us, are enabled to serve. And then there is a higher goal. So what then is the purpose of our service? If each of us are serving in different ministries, whether in the church or outside the church, what is that higher purpose? It's given to us in verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is the goal of our every member ministry, then, is to bring this church or each congregation to a unity in the gospel, to a maturity in the gospel, to a deeper and a fuller knowledge of Jesus, until we all grow more to be like him. So our theological knowledge is meant to transform our character and our life as a community. As a community. And if that's the case, you see, this is why we're to serve. This is the purpose of our ministry. The purpose of our ministry is not, in this context, to grow myself. The purpose of my ministry is not to grow individually. The purpose of my ministry is to grow the community of God's people. I've been given a gift in order to serve this church that I am a committed member of, that God has saved me into. And my concern, my primary concern, is to pray for this church community, to pray to seek the building up of others, to seek the maturity of others within this church. You see, and again, how it's not just a preaching center, not an entertainment center, it's not a prayer room. It's a training paddock. It's a training session where we're to spur each other on and encourage one another in our mutual growth in the gospel. We're responsible not just for ourselves, but for this interdependent community that God has saved me into. And it's a community that, seeks to grow more and more to be like Christ. So here's the challenge. Is this how you think about church? When you come to church, are you thinking, I'm here to be trained, and I'm here to encourage others in the church to be trained, to be equipped, to be mature? You come only to learn or to be comfortable or even to do the bare minimum, or do you come for the sake of others in the church? You come to serve others. And before you come or during the week, do you pray for others? Are you praying for the maturity and the growth of others in your community group and in your congregation? And are you using your gifts for that reason? Are you using your gifts for that reason? Because this is what we're told in verses 15 and 16. Instead of being infants, instead of being immature, this is what we are to be like. Speaking the truth in love, as the truth of the gospel that counters the false teaching around us. Being the truth and in love to each other, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See, God's word is always the foundation of our growth. It's always the essential diet of this spiritual bodybuilding. But as we grow, we're also to use the gifts that God has given us to build up the body of Christ, to build others up. And so I grow as a Christian as I build myself up, as I build others up. And as I build others up, I build myself up. There is an interdependent relationship between my growth and the growth of the Christian. That's the necessary meaning of this analogy. See, the body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So when you go to the gym, you know, you're working on your biceps. As your bicep grows, your body is growing, right? As you're working on your quads, and you're doing the squats, as your quads grow, your body's growing. And as your chest grows, your whole body's growing. And each part is doing its work for the sake of the body of Christ. And as we come to church, we're going to think about how do I contribute, how do I serve the growth of the body of Christ, this interdependent community that God has saved me into. And in the first place, I think we should give thanks, shouldn't we? We should give thanks. Thank God for the gifts that God has given each one of us. Thank God for the way that God has used people who are willing to offer themselves sacrificially and with effort to serve us each week. Since the beginning of our morning congregation last year, we've had a dedicated team who've been committed to grow this church in number and in maturity and for the salvation of others and for the maturity of the members of this church. So thank God for those who serve. Think about those around yourself. Who is one person or one ministry that you most appreciate? One of the ministries I appreciate early on, you know, one of my sort of ideas in terms of, you know, what kind of congregation do we want to create and to start last year? And I was thinking morning tea, a quality morning tea would be a great thing, you know. And quality coffee. Why? Because that creates an attractive not an attractive atmosphere and a community inducing atmosphere that will build community around good food and good coffee. And the thing is that idea was more than fulfilled, and you know, God's been more than gracious in giving a team of people who not only dedicated to providing morning tea, but enjoy that ministry and enjoy seeing people enjoy the food. And in the end, it's not about the food, is it? It's not about how good the food is, but it's the intention behind that ministry, which is to build a community that knows and loves Jesus more and more. And so it doesn't matter in the end if it's, you know, what the quality of the food is, but it's the intention of that ministry, which is to help the growth and the maturity of those who are members of this church. And so what other ministry are you thankful for? What other ministry are you thankful for? And how does that ministry contribute to your maturity as a Christian? And as you think about that ministry, thank God. Give thanks to God for that ministry. And be encouraged. Be encouraged either to continue serving, or be encouraged to think about how you can serve others with the gift that God has given you. Because this is what God's Word tells us. Each of us, if you are members of the body of Christ, if you are a Christian, you have been given a gift. And you've been given the means by which you can contribute to the growth and the maturity of others within this congregation and within your community group. So what is the gift that God has given you? What are the gifts, the opportunities that God has given you? And how can you be using that gift to serve others? How can you be using that gift to serve others? How can you be living out the unity you have in the gospel and pursuing the maturity that God wants for His church? I was part of a CCC, Chinese Christian Church, a while ago, and you know, it's another large church with at that time there were about 6 congregations. I think there's 5 at the moment, but there are some members there who've been there for decades, and I remember, you know, going to one of the services and noticing that there are particular people who always sit in the same place week in, week out. This is their seat, and this is the only seat they'll. This is the only side of the hall they'll sit in. This is the only row and the only seat that they will personally own. And they've been there for decades. And the great tragedy is not only are they immovable from their seats, but there are some of these people who have never grown, who have never served, who have never loved others outside of their comfort zone. They've never ultimately changed and applied what God's Word has spoken to their lives. And you know what kind of people they are from a spiritual level? They are people who are spiritually obese. They're spiritually obese. They might be surviving by the skin of their teeth, but they are spiritually obese. They've never grown. They've never seen themselves as part of a united body that they are called to love. They've never identified that they have a vital contribution to the growth of this body. And that clearly is not what we want, is it? It's not what God wants. It's not what we want. We don't want a head. And you know, all of us are here. Yes, we're all still young. We're all still, you know, have energy. We all still want to grow. But is it possible we could head in that direction? Is it possible that we could become not only complacent, but spiritually obese? it's possible that we could stop growing. We could stop serving. We could become inward-looking individuals and stop seeing this as a training session where we're here to spur one another on to grow. Well, each of us have been gifted by God. We've been uniquely gifted, and ultimately we don't need permission to serve. We don't need permission to pray. We don't need permission to encourage each other. You can ask how I can be serving, you can ask your leaders, you can ask myself. But in the end, it is God who says, grow. Grow yourself as members of the body of Christ in a humble, self-giving love as you use your gifts, as you use your words to build others up. To build others up. And our motivation in all this is not ultimately that we might be saved or that we might be secure in the gospel. But it's in response to the gospel, in response to what God has already done. Out of gratitude, we love others. Out of gratitude for God's love, we love. Out of a gratitude of God's gifts, we use His gifts for others. As a gratitude for the church that we've been saved into, we love the church. And out of a desire to honor Christ. And this really is how Paul begins and how I want to end this talk this morning. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And in this one body, God calls us to grow, to love, and to serve. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is not only gracious, but you are a God who is infinitely wise. And in your wisdom, you call us to be members of this new community, a community of peace, of forgiveness, of humility, of self-giving love, and a community in which we are called to grow together, not just as individuals, but as members of one team, one household, one family. So we pray that you would impress this truth in our hearts. The great privilege it is of being part of this one universal community of God's people expressed and which finds its meeting place in local congregations. That despite our differences, that we have this eternal bond, this eternal connection, this common spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the opportunity to grow and to serve within this church and this congregation. We pray that you help us to make the most of every opportunity we have to do this, for our sake, for the sake of your church, and for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen.